It's good to see everyone this morning, and we are in the book of Ephesians, and I gave you four things last week that we talked about without looking at a note. Honey, wait just a second. I know you're eager. I gave you four things that we talked about quite extensively, and we ended chapter 2 with those four things. Now, the first one was, what about it?
Well,
I know the past is in the past. That sounds like the vice president saying something, you know. We know the past is in the past, but what about the past? There you go. The past has been dealt with. And the second thing was the present. What about the present? If the past has been dealt with, the present will be different. Different. If your present is not different, your past has not been dealt with. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's how a person knows that their past has been dealt with. Because their present is different than their past was. They were dead. They're alive. They were in trespasses and sins. They're not. They were sinners. Now they're saints. It's different. And if your past has been dealt with and your present is different, then your future will be divine. I gave you all those with D's. It should not be hard to keep up with. I love y'all. And I know, listen, I know I come across as awful sometimes. It's just me. Jimmy will tell you, I don't mean it. Oh, mercy, I wouldn't hurt anybody in here. It's just the way I do it. And then, if your past has been dealt with and your present is different and your future is divine, what's the fourth thing I told you?
Remember.
Look, if you don't remember that, if every day you don't remember that your past has, it's done. And if you don't remember that your present is different, and if you don't remember that your future is set, and it's not just set, it's going to be blissful, divine. That's why we're to remember. Why should we remember those things? Well, that's true, but why should we remember those things? Let's talk about that for just a second, then I'm going to chapter 3. Who dealt with your past? Who makes your present different? And who's promised you a divine future? Well, if you're remembering those things, who are you going to remember? It's not what you're going to remember, it's who you're going to remember. Every day. That way, when you are tempted in the flesh to do something that you know was the past, you're going to be reminded of who you're offending, not yourself, but the one who did it for you. That's why it's important. That's why it's important. Not so people will say, boy, I tell you that, Jimmy Buckles, you wouldn't believe. He's such a good man, I tell you. That's a godly man, I tell you one thing. No, he doesn't want that. You wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that. You want them to say, boy, I can't believe the change God made in them. I knew them back when their past hadn't been dealt with. I can't believe the new person. Isn't that what he said? That, you know, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God gets all the glory for who we are. Now, we come to chapter 3. So go to Psalms 22. Now, I'm going to read, we're just going to go on one of them roller coaster rides in the scriptures, you know. And I'm going to make a point. I don't have time to make the point till I make the point. So stay with me on the ride, fasten your seatbelt, and don't get out, and don't put your arms out, you know. Yep. Psalms 22. Let me know when you're there. Psalms 22 and 27. All the ends of the world. What does that leave out? All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Baptist.
The Lord.
And all, who's that leave out? All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Now, who's the writer of that psalm? David. Now, if you will, look at Psalms 86. Psalms 86. Verse 9. Well, let's look at 8, just to look at it. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Somebody help little Doris. Now, who does that leave out? Should be out. Who does that leave out?
No one.
Judge Judy, look right here. Who does that leave out?
Nobody.
Now the word nations. You know, sometimes we get things confused with that word. For example, is the United States a nation? Yes. Is Germany a nation? Yes. Is France a nation?
Yes.
Why, yes. Is Great Britain a nation?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the United States. What makes up the United States? What is it that we call the United States? Well, it's made up of ground, right? It's earth. It's states. It's highways. It's buildings, right? But he wouldn't be saying that about inanimate objects, would he? The word nations just simply means people. United States is made up of people. Germany is made up of people. So he's saying all people. All people. Now, I've told you that there's two groups of people. Right? And only two groups of people. And they are?
Saints.
Huh?
Saints.
No. We're not talking about the condition of man. We're talking about man himself. It's Jews and Gentiles. That's the two groups. There's not three. There's not four. There's two. You're either of the Jewish nation or you are of the Gentile nation. That's all there is. That's all there is. And so God's plan was given to which nation? The Jews. You know, I'm not ashamed of the power of God, for it is, or I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto the Jews first, and also to the Greeks or Gentiles. So we know that he came unto his own, the Jews, and his own, the Jews, received him not. Because they rejected him, he turned to the Gentiles. Now you say, but Tom, that's in the New Testament. Now our pastor, I'm now daggone that you make him proud. Our pastor has this saying. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So when David is talking here in the Psalms about all Gentiles will come to the Lord, they didn't know how. All they had, they could become a Jew. They could. Now, they wouldn't be a Jew by heritage, but they could become a Jew through the Jewish religion. They could do the Jewish ceremonial laws. They could do the sacrifices. And they could acknowledge the God of the Jews. That's the knowledge. And that's why the Jews were called out as a nation, so that they could go and evangelize the Gentiles about God. But it was sort of a mystery, wasn't it? And a mystery just simply means something that was hidden that's not been made known. So that's what David is talking about here when he says it this way. All nations whom thou hast made. Who's that leave out? Every single person in this world, Jew or Gentile, he made. Point blank, unequivocally, he made. So he says, among the all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Now look at chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, I'm not going to exhaust all of the scriptures that I could to give you the idea. I think what I'll give you will give you what I'm talking about. So, in chapter 9, verse 2. Nevertheless, I'm reading one. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Who's he talking about there? No, he's talking about the Jews. He's talking about Israel. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Who's he talking about there? Gentiles. In other words, he's talking about, in verse 1, that he came to the Jews, they rejected him. And then he turns to the Gentiles. Now, if you will, look at Verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, or chosen, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the... Who's he talking about there? He's talking about Christ. In other words, he's letting out a little bit of what in the New Testament we're going to see a whole lot of. Now, look, if you will, at 49, chapter 49 and 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. Who's that? Israel. And to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now, in that one verse, you see three things. First of all, you'll see the rejection by Israel. Right? It's right off the bat. And then you see the acceptance by the Gentiles. But then you see something really amazing. You see the restoration of Israel, the remnant. Now, is Israel redeemed today as a nation? That's an unequivocal no. Just like the United States is not redeemed as a nation. Individuals are redeemed. But will Israel as a nation be redeemed? You better believe it. But not as a group. Individually. Every Jew, and I say Jew through heritage, every Jew that comes through Christ is part of the remnant. And Israel, the remnant, will receive every promise that God ever made them. Everyone. And Gentiles are not privileged to those promises as a nation. See, there's promises made to Israel, the nation, that weren't made to Gentiles. Now, salvation goes out to Israel, right? And salvation goes out to the Gentiles. But that doesn't mean that Gentiles will share in the promises that Israel will. Israel, for example, is promised a certain area of land that will be theirs forever. Okay, I got to move on. Yes.
What was that verse in 47? If I didn't get the verse.
In 47? Wasn't in 47. I was in 49.
Oh, 49. Okay, well, what verse?
6. I will also give thee a light for the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now, who's he talking about there? Christ. So what's he saying? He's saying this. Christ is going to come to the Jews. They're going to reject him. Then I'm going to turn to the Gentiles. They're going to accept him. Not every Gentile, you know. But then he says, then I'm going to turn and come back and restore the Jews. Read Revelation. It's all about the revealing of Christ and the restoration of Israel. The Gentiles, forget it. Their time's up. He's come now to do exactly what he said. Now, if you will, look over at Ephesians chapter 3. With that in mind. Now, I'm just going to read this morning, where normally I wouldn't even pick up my Bible, as you know. I'm just going to read them. We're going to cover the whole chapter. The whole chapter. It's not that long.
I know. That's a long time for you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that ugly. Because we want all of it.
You see what I have to put up with?
Well, it's the truth.
I try to be nice.
We don't want you to rush.
You know, people want to know why I'm not nice. I try to be. But people won't let me be. Kathy, they just won't let me be. They're just always wanting to.
You want me to get my pillow out?
See? See?
They're just thinking what I'm saying.
Now, what's the very first three words there? For this cause. He's going to talk about two things. For this cause and to this intent. Now, what does each one of those mean? Well, I could read it like this. For this very reason. For this very reason. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you. See, in other words, there you know that Paul was called. But he was called not only to salvation. He was not only called to salvation, he was called as an apostle, an ambassador of Christ to the Gentiles. Does that mean that he didn't preach to the Jews? Oh, he did early on. He did early on. But then he said they wouldn't believe him. He says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm done with you. My words, you can go read it in Acts for yourself. He says, I'm done with you. I'm just going to go to the Gentiles. You people don't want to get right. That's my word. Now you can go read it. That's the gist of the thing. So he says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. In other words, I'm in prison because I was preaching the gospel of Christ and I was doing it for the Gentiles. Now normally the Jews wouldn't have given Gentiles the time of day. Matter of fact, they wouldn't even walk down the street where a Gentile had sold eggs. They wouldn't even walk down that street, much less buy the eggs. That's how much they hated them. They thought that coming in contact with a Gentile defiled them. You know, a lot like Baptists. We think if we get around a Methodist, we're defiled. No, I'm just kidding. That was it's not a true statement. That was just a statement. If ye have heard of the dispensation. Now, I want to give you a word for dispensation. It's going to help you understand what we're saying here. Stewardship. Now, everyone knows what stewardship is, right? Stewardship is just administering. Now, file that word under administration, because that'll come into play. All right? If ye have heard of the dispensation or the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given to me for you. What I have is not for my benefit, he says. It's for yours. When we were saved, when our past was dealt with, and our present made different, it wasn't for us. It was so that we could go reach someone else and let them see that their past can be dealt with and their present can be different. You know, and it's wonderful, you know, that they're having the evangelism class on Wednesday nights now. You know, on how to reach out to people. I shouldn't be in that class. I am the world's worst at talking to people. You say, come on, Tom, I hear you every Sunday. I'm telling you. I am the most uncomfortable human being in the world around other people. I don't like to be around people. I don't like to be in groups. I was talking to them yesterday, and they said they were on their way down to the farmer's daughter with almost 50 people. I wouldn't go with five. How are you going to keep up with 50 people? How are you going to talk to 50 people? Somebody's going to get mad. Well, he didn't even talk to me today. See, I mean, I try to get to two of them, and those two are happy. The other 48, well, he didn't even talk to me. But I got to tell you, I don't have any trouble at all telling somebody. You know, I sent Jessie a text. She didn't respond. So I sent her another text. And I said, why didn't you respond to my text? You ghosting me? I learned that, you know. I don't even know what it means, but I learned. Yeah. I said, you ghosting me? Well, she sent me back, and she said, you didn't send me a text. I said, I didn't. So I took her a picture of it on Meme's phone, because I didn't know how to do it off mine, so I took a picture of it with Meme's phone, and then I sent it to my phone, and then I sent it to her phone. I got there, hey. She said, my name is not Jesse McConnell, and that's not my number. And I looked at her, I said, her name ain't Jesse McConnell. So anyway, the number was 6277, and I had 6267. And then instead of Jesse Starnes, you know, my other niece is named McConnell. So I guess when I put the number in, I put Jesse McConnell. Look, that's why I don't like to be around people. I get everything messed up. So anyway, I said, would you sing Let Me Tell You About My Jesus? And she, of course, said yes. And then I got a text this morning and said, of course I can't because she's sick. And that's okay. That song that Henry sang last night, it's a wonderful song, wasn't it?
It was.
Just preach Jesus until Jesus comes again. You know, you don't have to win people to the Lord. And I don't know where that come from. I know what it means. Don't get me wrong now. Don't run out of here and get me wrong. You can't win anybody to the Lord, folks. That's God's business. But what our business is to tell them about the one. Tell them about Jesus. And that's not hard to talk about, really. I mean, the very first thing I'll ask someone is, do you know the Lord? That's not hard. That's like what? How many were five? The president would say it's two, but it's. Oh, did you see that in the paper this morning or yesterday? I guess, you know, the little kid, well, he was at school, and they was having them do math on the board, and it was 2 + 2, and he put 14, and the teacher said that's not right. He said, oh yes, it is. You just add for inflation. That's about right. Been to the grocery store lately? 2 + 2 don't add up 4 no more, I'll tell you that. I don't know why I got off on that. But my point is this. Paul was sent to the Gentiles to preach Jesus. We're all given that ministry. That doesn't mean you're in the pulpit preaching. That means that when you run across someone, and you're having a conversation, let the Lord come up. It's not hard. Now, it's hard if your present is not different from your past. That's hard. But when it is, that's all it is. And Paul is saying, listen, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, now I just went back and read that to you, didn't I? Which in other ages was made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You remember, he said, I didn't get what I preach up in Jerusalem. He was saved on the road to Damascus. He went and met with the people in Jerusalem. And then he went where? To the wilderness. Where this was revealed to him. Where that he could see what was given in the Old Testament in a sort of a you know, like the Bible says, we see through a glass dimly. It was sort of seen but vaguely. Now he saw it clearly. Here's what he saw clearly. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now look just across the page at the previous chapter 2 and you get an idea of what that's saying. Verse 13 of 2 says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off," or let me read to you this way, "ye who in times past were far off," that was your past, "are made nigh," that's your present. Your past is your past. Your present is different. You're not afar off anymore. Listen, if you feel afar off from God, you better check up. Why would I say that, Tracy? Why would I say that statement? Why would I say if it feels like God's way off, you better check up on yourself?
Because you're the one
that drifted. Well, when your past is dealt with and your present's made different, God moves in. It's not like God's still up in heaven, Jimmy. God moved in. Why did he do that, Kathy? Well, why would he do that, though? Well, let's look at it this way. Did he say this? "I will never leave you." Well, Jimmy, if I said to you, "Jimmy, I got good news, son. I'm never going to leave you." When you walk out the door today, I'm going to be right beside you. When you get in your truck, I'm going to sit down right beside you. When you get home and get down to the table, I'm going to sit right in beside you. When you get ready to go to bed, I'm going to be sat right beside you. When you get up in the morning and get your coffee, I'm going to be right beside you. Otherwise, I'm not fulfilling, I'll never leave you. He's never going to leave you. And the way that is he puts his spirit, and his spirit's him, by the way. You know, we get the idea sometimes that, the Spirit's not. No, the Spirit is Christ. That's what the Bible says, that he has given us the Spirit of his Son to indwell you. He's always there. He's never going to be anywhere else, and he's always going to be with you. That's why he moves in. And that's the gospel. That's what Paul is going to preach to the Gentiles. The same gospel that was preached to the Jews. Christ died for our sins, was buried and resurrected the third day, ascended back to the Father, and sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, and hath promised us to return. That's the gospel in a nutshell. And it's not difficult. And it will save a Gentile. It'll save a Jew. And so Paul says, that was why I was given and revealed unto me this mystery. And he says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Now he's going to get you to understand who he is. He wants you to look a little bit at himself. "Unto me," he said, "who am less than the least of..." I don't know. I don't know how you feel. I know how I feel. I don't a bit more deserve what God's done for me. Nothing. I mean, how many times can you spit in God's face and him still be gracious to you? You say, "Tom, you never spit in his face." Just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting, I've spit in his face more times than I can count. By dishonoring. By rejecting him. Well, that's what the Bible says. Look, I don't make this stuff up. He says, listen, when you reject him, don't you understand that you crucify him afresh? You're at the bottom of the cross saying, crucify him, we don't want him. That's what rejection is. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, and this grace given. You know, I said he was a persecutor, but he became a preacher. That's what God can do. See, God doesn't care about your past. He dealt with it. You know, we're the one that has a problem with our past. God's dealt with it. He says, I put it to my back. I put it as far as east is from the west. It's over with as far as he's concerned. We're the ones that sometimes has a problem with it. But Paul's having a problem with it for a good reason. He's doing it in humility. He's not trying to be fake humanity here. He really has a humility about him. He said, listen, I know what I... Well, I murdered Christians. I fed them to the lions and fed them to the... To be killed by the sword and to be burned. I know what I was. But that's my past. And it's been dealt with. And my present is different. And I know about my future now. I'll show you that in just a second. And to make all men see what is the fellowship. Now that word, remember the other word I gave you was stewardship, right? Well, what does a steward do? They administer. So that's what that word means, administration. He says, and to make all men see what is the administration of the mystery. In other words, I'm going to hand it out. He's given me the mystery. He's revealed it to me. Well, I can't just keep it for myself, he says, because I've been called to preach. And like our pastor says, and I agree with him, you know, preaching can be in different ways. I've never been one of those soft-spoken teachers. I understand that, and I've even had people not come to my class because they say, well, all you do is preach. You know, well, hey, I understand that. A delivery is a different, you know. And the messenger can be different. But the message can't ever be different. You know, whether you get like a raving maniac or whether you're just calm and quiet and soft-spoken, it must be done with passion. And he says, and to make all men see what is the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God and created. I circled that in my Bible. That's important right there. I'll show you why. Who created all things. Why would he say that right there? I mean, we're not talking about creation. Why would he say that right there? He wants you to know that this mystery goes all the way back to creation. And who was there? Christ. It's always been about Christ. When Noah found grace, bless God, he found Christ. When David talked about the Gentiles coming and worshiping, it would have to be through Christ. And he says, to the intent, or for the express purpose, or the expressed reason, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What's he saying right there? Anybody want to venture a guess? It's okay if you're wrong. We're just trying to learn. What's that verse telling us? Here's what it's telling us. What he's demonstrating on earth, his mercy and his grace through his Son, he's wanting, bless God, all heaven to see it. He's wanting all heaven to see the vastness of His grace, of His wisdom, the manifold. Well, you're looking at it. Huh? The manifold wisdom. The vastness of it, Jimmy. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. He's omnipotent. He has all power. That's who He is. And that's who is giving to Paul, a persecutor of the church, a message to preach that even Gentiles can be saved if they'll come through Jesus Christ. That's been the mystery forever. And He wants all heaven to know it. According to the eternal, which He... Now I'm going to give you a word for purpose. The reason I do this is to help you understand it. It sort of gives you a little light. Just insert the word work. Here's the word, and I'll give you another verse in the Bible, and it'll help you right there. In Corinthians, he says this. He says that he who knew no sin became sin that we might be, what's that word? Think about the verse. That we might be, starts with an M, the next letter's A, the next letter's D, made. That we might be made what? The righteousness of God by Christ Jesus. Here's what that verse means. You're not trying to be righteous, Sandy. You're not trying to be righteous, Amy. You're not trying to be righteous, Diane. He made you righteous. That's who you are. He created you. Listen, old things have passed away. All things have become new. We're a new creature, a new creation. We've been made. That's the word work. Work. His work. He says, if you won't believe me for my words, believe me for my work. He says, according to the eternal work which He worked in Christ Jesus. Oh, listen, your future is divine because of His work. See, it's not your work. Look, I know we want to do good things. I know we want to live a good life. My goodness, if you don't get right, that's all I can say. But let's not take credit for it, folks. Let's not come in with our chest out and our head up like we're something. Let's have Paul's humility. Oh, man, I don't deserve one ounce of God's grace. I don't deserve one drop of His blood. I know what my past was. Oh, He didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve anything. He could have sent me straight to hell and it'd have been right. But He showed me mercy, showed me grace, and I want all heaven to know it, the manifold wisdom of His grace. To whom be boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. It's for you. You notice that? You notice the humility of this. Listen, this same man who would have sent him to the lions now says, listen, what I'm suffering, being imprisoned, it's for you. It's not for me. What I want to share with you is for you. Esteeming others, as it said in another place, esteeming others more than ourselves. Wherefore I desire, my heart's desire, I could read it that way. Wherefore my heart's desire is that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this, so he started out by saying for this cause, didn't he? Then he said to this intent. Now he's going to say for this cause again. Because of who I am and who he is, I'm going to do something now. I'm going to do something I wouldn't have done before. I'm going to do something I couldn't have done before, but I can now. And it's something that every morning I do. I trust something every morning that you do. You know, I've told you, listen, don't get out of your seat. Don't change seats. Because when I pray of a morning, I'm starting back here. And I'm going across. And I'm praying for you. Because I know that day you're going to need strength. So don't get out of your seat. For this cause, he says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray without ceasing. You know, I have people who send me a text and they'll say, pray for this or pray for that. Almost always my answer is this. Immediately. You know, they're not saying, would you, if you think of it today, would you pray about this? When somebody sends out a request, folks, it's a heavy thing for them. It's weighing on them. They need help. They don't think I can help them. Otherwise, they'd say, Tom, come up here and take care of this for me. No, they know one thing. I'll show it to you in just a second. They know one person who can help them. And all they're asking is something. Someone to lift them up. Let's don't ever take that for granted. You know, when Moses' arms were up, they won the battle. But you know, he's like all of us. Boy, they'd start getting tired. And when his arms were lowering, it was bad. So he got two of his men. And you know what they did, Jimmy? They stood over here and over here. They held his arms up. And when they were holding his arms up, I'll be done in just a second. When they was holding his arms up, the battle went good. So when someone asks you to pray, what they're saying is, my arms are tired. Would you come alongside me and hold my arms up for me? Because if you will, bless God, we'll win. Y'all, come on in. I'm going to finish. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant unto according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. The love of God is greater far. Which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. That's why you send out the request, folks. Because he's able. According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. In the church, not the organized church, the called out church, the saints of God church, the church of the living God, by Christ Jesus, throughout all time, world without end. So let it be. That's what amen means.